The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
What makes for a good cookbook and what are the best books to buy for Christmas? The food and travel writers Russell Alford and Patrick Hanlon from gastrogaze.com are with us. Thank you very much, both of you, for taking the time to go through all of these books. Although I don't think it was probably such a great chore, was it?
Oh no, it was an absolute joy for us. We live for reading cookbooks and cooking from them and enjoying them as much as we can.
Yeah, what do you look for in a cookbook though? What is it? Because, I mean, if you're experienced in the kitchen, not all these books are for experienced cooks and chefs. They are for the ordinary person. So what do you look for?
I mean, it has to be accessible, so you have to be able to make everything in it, and it also has to be inspirational at the same time. So I think it's somewhere in the middle of those two, a kind of combination, I guess.
And also have very clear instructions as to what
and
to
photos
do.
Always
photos
help.
Help too. And also stories. We love reading a cookbook, not just for the recipes. We love trawling through them and finding the stories behind them, and a couple of these writers in particular, because they are true foodies. They're not just, I suppose, jumping on a bandwagon.
Yeah, you've broken out into various categories for us, which is great. And you're going to take one from each category. And you're going to, there's so many celebrity chef books out there, loads. This seems to be the big thing. If you have a name, even if you're not a qualified chef or if you're just sort of chancing your arm, but if you're well known, you can have a book. You have gone from somebody, though, who does seem to know her stuff as your best celebrity chef book of the year, which is.
This is Nigella Lawson At My Table, which was released back in October. And we're kind of divided on which Nigella book we love the most, but this is up there with one of the best at this point. It is true and true. It's her. It's very much very simple recipes, very much approachable for anyone at home. If there's any specious ingredient that you might think, oh, I'm never going to use that, there's always at least another recipe in the book to be able to, I suppose, use it again and try it out, so it's not wasting.
Okay. But how could she have an original book at this stage? How many are there at this stage, Patrick? This is,
well, I mean, you know, the inspiration's endless if you are Nigella. You know, I think this is going to be a classic of hers. It's just so easy. It's informative. There's no faff. It's a tome. It's large. It's beautifully shot.
One photo there, which is the Turkish eggs, which is one of the main recipes in the book.
What's in Turkish eggs?
A Turkish egg. Basically, it's a yogurt infused with a bit of garlic, and you heat that up over a bain-marie on a pan, and then you create some chili pepper oil, poach an egg, plop it on, and that's your breakfast. And it is incredible. Bit of sourdough bread and you are in heaven.
That actually really interests me already. I'm starting to get hungry already. Okay, so that's your celebrity recommendation.
Yes.
Baking has become so big with the Great British Bake Off and various offshoots of it. You have gone, though, for an Irish baking book.
We have gone to Rachel Allen, who is arguably the queen of Irish baking. And this is a book that came out earlier this year. I think it was October. And again, it's just simple, straightforward, and it has everything from kind of introductory things like flapjacks and brownies to quite advanced, quite technical things as well. And the thing about this is that it has global inspiration as well. So there's, you know, Queen Amman, there's you know, French things,
there's a Middle Eastern recipe that people will look at and instantly go, oh, I'm not making that. But it's basically it's a phyllo pastry crushed up and baked, and it looks a little bit hairy, but it looks absolutely fantastic.
Hairy cake.
A hard sell. It's weird called Katafi. So if you're flicking through, keep an eye out for that
one.
But
the thing about Rachel Allen in particular is these recipes are tried and tested and they work every single time. And that's why if you have a 10-year-old, a 15-year-old who's really into baking and you want to get them into the kitchen a bit more, it's a really, really great book to introduce them into it as well.
You have a category called the comforting book. What do you mean by that?
This
is a book called Comfort.
Yes, it's by John Waite, the winner of Bake Off back in 2012. And, you know, we live in an age of spiralizers and clean eating and everything like this. This book is the complete opposite of everything.
It is the tonic.
This is the book to make you fat, is it?
Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. This is my January diet book, because I don't really believe in January diets. And it is, like, there's a photo in it on the first page that is just cheesy goodness melting, oozing all over the place. This book has 90% recipes featuring cheese, butter, oil. You can hear how excited I'm getting about it, because it is an absolutely beautiful
book.
Not
for the lactose intolerant.
Absolutely not, no. I suppose John, being a baker and being known as a baker, very much so, it's kind of a bit of a change for him to go down this route, but he's a Northern English guy, and Northern English people, we find, always love their comfort food in particular, and he has really embodied it so well. There's a recipe for Lancashire Aligo. Aligo is a French mashed potato dish that is about 99% cheese, and he has made it a Lancashire version
of
it.
How can you call it a mashed potato dish if it's 99% cheese?
That's what I was just going to say.
Because it's just heavenly and it makes you happy. That's the most important thing.
That would make me ill. Okay, let's move to festive books for, next. And you have picked Christmas Chronicles by Nigel Slater. Why so?
So, he is a writer who absolutely loves food. And he can write and write and write about pretty much everything. And he has a series called The Kitchen Diaries. And it was only a matter of time before he had a Christmas cookbook out, and it is literally everything you need, from a wreath to your tree to all of the things of the Christmas season, and then chock full of Christmas recipes as well. It is the Bible of Christmas.
And it's a storybook as well. And in, you know, if you see Nigel Slater's TV shows in particular, he just is so effusive about absolutely everything, right from a sandwich to a roast dinner. He loves everything. He has a two-page lament, which he introduces as a word about mincemeat. That goes on for two pages. Very typical Nigel Slater.
Or The Joy of Stuffing. And he will go on and on and on. So if you need ideas...
But will he give you lots
Christmas
of recipes for different
absolutely
types of stuffing?
Absolutely.
He has all of the right ideas at Christmas. So if you're drawing a blank, he is the one to consult, I think, this year.
Okay. You have now what you call the perfect stocking filler as well.
Yes.
It's so a smaller book. Because actually, the one thing has to be said, the majority of cookbooks are big,
yeah,
and they are expensive.
Yes, indeed.
They sure are.
Now, quite a lot of these actually are on offer at the moment, so keep an eye out. I know Easton's is 25% off quite a lot of cookbooks
quite
at the moment, which we spotted
that's
today.
That's unusual,
so
this
really,
time of year. But
yeah, get in while you can.
Okay.
So the Gannett Gastronomic Miscellany, if that's how you pronounce it.
Miscellany.
Is...
Who's this by?
Basically, it's by Killian Fox. He's an Irish guy in London who writes about food. And this is a book all about the things you never knew that you needed to know about food. So it's packed full of facts and stats and oddities about the things that you had never thought about.
Like the official names for different types of boiling water.
What?
Yes.
There's different names for boiling water.
Yeah, there's different
boiled water.
The different stages have like the fish eye stage and everything. And
at the launch of this, the Irish Times critic
Catherine Cleary
asked him, "How does it feel to have produced a book that everyone is going to keep by their toilet?"
And he took it as a compliment, thankfully. But it is a really, it's a great book that you're gonna, you know, pick up every so often and take little tidbits from. Or you're going to read it all in one go and you will ace every pub quiz in the country.
You have, well, you have a book for what you call the adventurous cook.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, Olia.
So Olia Hercules is a chef and writer and stylist, actually, in London. She's originally from Ukraine and she has a book called Caucasus, which is about the Caucasus region, so kind of around the cuisines of Azerbaijan and Georgia.
And what sort of cuisines do they have?
Oh, God.
Lots of fresh ingredients, a big emphasis, I suppose, on meat as well.
Yeah. Soups. Spices?
A little bit of spices do go on in there in smaller quantities, not kind of, I suppose, what we're
accustomed to. Not Asian sort of spices.
Yeah. But we recently were in Ukraine, actually, back in May for Eurovision, naturally. And we had a lot of that kind of food. We had Georgian food there. Yeah. And I would fly back just for it. It is incredible stuff. And Olia really is just so in love with her roots and her heritage. It really comes across in this book so well. And it's one that if you are a bit more adventurous than the normal cook every day and you want to try something different, Olia Hercules, 100%.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, you've also picked out a book which isn't, I suppose, quite specifically a cookery book.
No.
This is what you call a lifestyle book.
It is. Yes. So Helen James, who everyone will know, from her home collection at Dunn's, and
big
also
pictures in the windows of all Dunn's,
exactly,
yes.
And is also an amazingly accomplished blogger as well, and has blogged about food and interiors and lifestyle. So her book is called A Sense of Home, and it's all about creating a space in your house that you nurture yourself and you have beautiful things around you, and it's also chock full of recipes as well and just tips on how to create a really nice warm home.
Irish hygge,
yeah. Yes.
I'm thinking about the idea, though, for a lot of people, would they not, instead of spending a lot of money on a cookbook, and I'm not saying they should do this, but are a lot of people not just turning to the internet and just say, like, getting a recipe that they might get off some sort of website if they want to do their Christmas dinner?
Com, yes.
Do you do that?
Us two are so guilty of that.
Yeah, often. So it's a real... I suppose... Cookbooks are great for the planned people, I suppose. People who think ahead, they're having a dinner party on Saturday and want to do something different to impress.
Or doing the Christmas dinner for guests or whatever.
Exactly. Whereas, I suppose, for people going onto websites, it's about, oh, I need a quick recipe to make a cake because I'm desperately in need of a cake right now. It just depends, I suppose, on the circumstances. Nothing beats the joy of a book at the end of the day and the smell of it and the feel, and especially if you use a book a lot when the pages get stuck together because of all the oil and butter. Beautiful.
And if you need a book stand as well in the kitchen, though, don't you?
Yes. That's the smallest feature.
I mean, if it's themed, it's the perfect thing to, you know, curl up and spend half an hour flicking through and gleaming inspiration. So it's kind of experiential as well. Mm.
Okay, we're going to put this up as a podcast on the website. We'll also put the list up on the Today FM Last Word page of all the recommendations from Russell Alford and Patrick Hanlon from gastrogaze.com. Thank you both very much for coming in and for spending the time to go through such a great selection of books for us. Thank you very much indeed.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.